Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your help. We need you to instruct. We need you to enlighten. And so we ask you to do just that, Lord. Teach us your word. As your followers, may you show us what we need to do, and then may we faithfully obey. And Lord, again this morning, I want to pray for our families, our homes, that they would be beautiful in your eyes and that they would be wonderful, wonderful examples and testimonies to others in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in the book of Colossians, we are learning that as Christians, we are to be focused people. Focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is to be at the very center of our personal lives. But our relationship with Jesus Christ should also be contagious. Other people in our lives should be infected with our testimony, with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you most certainly want to see that take place in your family, in your home. That's where you really want to see it, however it can happen. Jesus Christ needs to be the focus of our families. And if you have a home that you would like to call a Christian home, well, then Jesus Christ must be at the center of your home. Now, how do we keep Jesus at the center of our families? How do we keep him at the center of our home? Well, we should participate in the basic principles of Christian growth as families, just like we do as individuals, just like God expects us to do as individual Christians. We do the same as families. We should go to church as families. We should read the Bible as families. We should pray together as families. We should reach out and witness to other people as families. That's a very important way. There's another important way to keep Jesus Christ front and center in your home, though, and that is that every member of the Christian home should willingly comply to their God-given role in the home. God has given us roles. We should comply. We should obey Him in that. Look what Paul says. That's what he's speaking of in verse 18, chapter 3. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Now, last week we looked at the roles of the wife and the husband in the home. This morning we're looking at parenting, mom and dad, and child or children. Parenting is one of those things that you can never be prepared for. I'm telling you. You can read all the books in the world that you want. You can talk to all the people in the world that you want. You can get all kinds of opinions, but you'll never fully be prepared until you become a parent, and then it's on-the-job training. In fact, someone has said, sometimes the trouble with being a parent is that by the time you're experienced, you're usually unemployed. That is true. When Kim and I were expecting our firstborn, Lindsay, we read the books, man. We took classes. We got advice from all kinds of people, and, you know, it did help. A lot of that did help, but there were so many curves that Lindsay threw at us. So many things that stretched us, we had to learn on the job. And then, after we sort of got the hang of Lindsay, we'd been experienced as parents for a whole year and a half, along came Connor Allen Gray. And that boy has systematically dismantled many of the parenting strategies that we had. He has thrown us curveballs. We've had to learn with him. But we get the hang of him now. We got two and we're thinking, okay, we're ready to go. Long comes number three. You got to learn again. Because every single child is unique. They have their different personalities. It's on-the-job training. They are a blessing, though, aren't they? They are such a joy when the Lord gives you children. Now, there's a lot of things that you have to learn on the way, but please understand that there are very clear commands in Scripture concerning our roles as children, our roles as parents. In verse 20, it says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Now, before we get into those roles specifically, let me give you a few general thoughts about parenting. Number one, remember that God is a God of order. He is a God of order. And He has a specific order for the home. The husband is called to be the head of the household and to love his wife as Christ loved the church. The wife is called to be in a submissive role to her husband. And remember, that's not because you're unequal. It's not because you're not capable. It's not because God is down on women. It's for the sake of order. God has put the husband at the head of the household, and the wife is to be in submission. And also, as we go in the order of the home, mom and dad are to be in charge. Children are to be obedient. That's the order. Listen, mom and dad call the shots. They give the rules, and it is the responsibility of children to obey. Mom and dad are in authority, and I really want to stress that this morning because there are many homes where that's not the case. In some homes, the parents are not in authority. The kid calls the shot. And believe me, you can spot a family like that. It's blatantly obvious who's in charge of a family. I remember growing up, I used to watch, maybe you saw that show, Eight is Enough. You remember that show with the Bradfords? And I used to always be amazed at that show at how many lessons the parents would learn each week from their kids. It seemed like they were always being taught a new lesson from their kids, always having to learn how to concede to their children and how to just sort of go with the flow. That's not how it's to be. In the home, mom and dad are in charge. The children are to obey. Very important. Ultimately, in the home, who's in authority? God is. But listen, parent, God has, in a sense, delegated, transferred His authority to you as agents of His authority in the home. And so, mom and dad, you need to understand that you will be accountable one day to God as to how you will parent your children. And children, you need to understand that your parents are agents of God's authority. They're in charge. They're responsible. Now, that brings up another issue that I think is very, very important for us as Christian parents to understand. It's the issue called stewardship. What is a steward? A steward is a superintendent, a manager, often of resources that don't even belong to you. You remember the parables that Jesus taught in the Gospels, how He spoke of the parable where there was an owner of a household who went on a long trip. And while he was away, he put one of his servants in charge of his household, doesn't own it, but is in charge and is to be a good steward of it. Mom and dad, Christian parent, God has called you to be good stewards of the precious little children that He's given to you for a set time. You see, ultimately, your children belong to God, not to you. You're to be a steward of what God has given you. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. God says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine." Now, I know that that is an absolutely revolutionary concept to some of you parents. but it is so true, and you got to get a grip on it. Your kids don't belong to you. Ultimately. Yeah, they do right now when they're under your roof. You say, what do you mean they don't belong to me? They belong. But ultimately, your kids belong to the Lord. And listen, God has, in effect, given them to you on loan for a very short period of time so that you can parent them in His ways. That's an interesting way to look at parenting. They belong to God, not you, and you're stewards of God's property. You see, what do we have, 18 or 20 years with the kids, really? 18, 20 years, and then they go. You know, they do leave the nest. And it's almost like God has come back for His property after those years are over. And it's time for them to go on and by themselves in their own walk with the Lord. Very important. You're to be a steward of what God has given you. Now, there are some parents who have children that have left the home, and they still want to act like parents to their children as if they were still living under their roof. Can't happen. Shouldn't happen. God doesn't want that to happen. And we need to understand that our children belong to the Lord, and we have this set period of time where we have to train them, and then they go out in the ways of the Lord. Now, does that mean you stop loving your kids? Absolutely not. There's a beautiful relationship, or should be, for the rest of your life with your children. But there should be a time when they leave. And it's hard. I still remember to this day when I left for New Mexico State University. I remember my car was packed with all my cool college stuff that I had collected. I was going to have my own dorm room, you know. And I remember that day it was raining, drizzling. I remember going out there in the garage with my parents, and we gave this embrace, we kissed, we cried. It was tough. It was tough for me, and it was tough for my parents. But you know what? My parents let me go. And it was the best thing they could have done for me. You have to be willing to do that. Now listen, stewardship will also... Oh, this is a big one. Understanding that your children belong to God will help you to trust God with your children more. You can relax more. Now, you are to take every precaution with your children. You're not to be negligent. You're to take care of them. You're to put precautions. You are to absolutely be responsible in how you raise your children. But really, there's only so much that we can do as parents, right? Ultimately, our kids belong in the hands of God. And the sooner we give our kids, say, those are yours, Lord, the better, the more you'll be able to relax. I think one of the most dramatic illustrations of that principle is in the life of Moses. You remember when he was born, the Egyptians were wanting to kill all the male babies. You remember that story? 3 months of age, the mother of Moses puts her little three-month baby in a little miniature ark, a basket, and pushes it out there on the Nile River. Was she being reckless? No, she wasn't. She was placing him in the hands of the Lord, because if he were to be at home, he'd be killed by the Egyptians. What an amazing, amazing thing. What faith. You know, there are some Christian parents that don't have enough faith to even put their child in a church nursery for an hour, let alone a Nile River, basket on a Nile River. We need to be able to trust God with our kids. And I'll tell you, I know that's hard. One of our greatest fears as parents is losing that child, isn't it? Oh, when Lindsay was just that little infant, I was terrified of SIDS. I was so terrified of that. She was my first, And you can ask Kim. I would get up every half an hour or an hour, and I'd go and I'd put my hands on her back and wait to see and feel if, you know, the hand, what, is she breathing? And I would check every hour. Is she alive? I had a fear for her. You know what? One night God said to me as I was standing there trying to see if she was still alive. He said, you know, do you have any control over whether or not this child breathes? No, I don't. Terry, I put every breath in her lungs. Can't you trust me with her? Why don't you go get some sleep? Go get a good night's sleep and let me run the universe for a while. Huh? And I did that. And at that point, there was a very important principle that was learned. We're to put our children in the hands of God. He's very capable. We're to be good stewards of our children. Your parenting will be attacked. That's another thing I want to say before we get into these roles. You becoming a successful Christian parent will be attacked. This world and this society will put barriers in the way to keep you from being successful. And so let me give you a few safeguards as parents. Number one, as a parent, you must fight to spend time with your children. You have to spend time with your children. You must make that time. Not just quality time, but quantity time as well. Quantity and quality. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You know, those 18 or 20 years will go by so quick, won't they? You got to spend time with them. I remember reading this letter that was given to Ann Landers, and perhaps you've heard letters like that, but take it to heart. This is a father who had regret. He wrote saying, I remember talking to my friend a number of years ago about our children. Mine were 5 and 7 then, just the ages when their daddy means everything to them. I wish that I could have spent more time with my kids, but I was too busy working. After all, I wanted to give them all the things I never had when I was growing up. I loved the idea of coming home and having them sit on my lap and tell me about their day. Unfortunately, most days I came home so late that I was only able to kiss them goodnight after they had gone to sleep. It is amazing how fast kids grow. Before I knew it, they were 9 and 11. I missed seeing them in school plays. Everyone said they were terrific, but the plays always seemed to go on when I was traveling for business or tied up in a special conference. The kids never complained, but I could see the disappointment in their eyes. I kept promising them that I would have more time next year. But the higher up the corporate ladder I climbed, the less time there seemed to be. Suddenly, they were no longer 9 and 11. They were 14 and 16. Teenagers. I didn't see my daughter the night she went out on her first date or my son's championship basketball game. Mom made excuses, and I managed to telephone and talk to them before they left the house. I could hear the disappointment in their voices, but I explained as best as I could. Don't ask where the years have gone. The little kids are now 19 and 21, and now they're in college. And I can't believe it. My job is less demanding, and I finally have time for them. But they have their own interests, and there is no time for me. To be perfectly honest, I'm a little hurt. It seems like yesterday that they were 5 and 7. I'd give anything to live those years over. You can bet your life I'd do it differently. But they are gone now, and so is my chance to be a real dad. Now, you have probably heard letters like that before and illustrations like that before, but let that sink in. Don't waste these years. Don't waste them. You must spend time with your children. You've got to figure it out. You've got to carve that time out. And let me say something that I really struggled with over this week on how I was going to say it. I'm afraid that some of you might be offended what I'm about to say. But let me say this. I weighed your being offended against the protection of kids. And I chose to opt with the kids. Many of you as parents have your children in daycare all day, every day. And for those of you who are in that situation, you're going to have to work even harder, aren't you, to spend time with your kids. Now, there are some of you that absolutely have to do that. You have to. It's financially necessity, although I think you should look into creative ways to figuring out how you might not have to do that. But some of you are doing that and you don't have to. It's not a financial need. It's become more of a, well, this is my career, man. It's my life. Well, listen, God has given you children. God has given you children. And let me challenge you this morning, parent. Why not be at home with your kids in those early years, the formidable years of life, until they get into school? Why not? Oh, but my career. Oh, but you have children. Oh, but that's so long. Oh, but it's really not. Listen to something that was printed in a Reader's Digest by child care experts. The article has said, "Hard truths about daycare." This is how it concludes. What the very young want and urgently need, child development experts agree, is not education or socialization, but the affection and unhurried attention of their parents. The deepest problem with paid child rearing is that someone is being asked to do for money what very few of us are able to do for any reason other than love. Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a moment. When Kim and I got married, we decided and we agreed together that Kim would be at home with the children while they were a young age and that we would make sacrifices to make that happen. We felt that that was important, and we still do. And so we've been committed to that, and I'll tell you what, it's been a little scary. You know, my degree is electrical engineering. You can make a whole lot more money as an engineer than you can as a pastor. And I used to think, boy, this is going to be kind of tough, Lord. How are you going to put this all together? God's done it. God's miraculously made it happen. And if you take a step in that direction, I think you'll see God do some pretty amazing things. Is it hard? Oh, you bet. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, it's easy. Kim has a blast all day. Oh, man, it's tough. It is extremely tough. Having three little kids running around the whole time, I mean, it's crazy. It's nutty. But it's worth it. And it's really not that long, is it? And you know what? We've seen some wonderful benefits come from that. Kim has been able to blossom with her children. Kim is able to, you know, develop relationships with other moms in the church. And there's wonderful things that moms can do. They can have play days together, go out to the park together. Kim has been able to be completely freed up to work with the children at church. She's blossomed with the children's ministry as she's started Calvary Kids Club on Wednesday night. There's wonderful benefits. Is it hard? Yes, but there's wonderful benefits. Extremely important. We must find time to spend time with our children. And listen, not just to do that, but to parent them. We must find the time to parent them. You know, there's a push out there that says, we want independently thinking kids. So we shouldn't tell them anything. Let them come up with their own opinions. Oh, bunk. We want to influence our kids. We want to direct them. We want to be a parent to them. If you won't influence them, somebody else will. The ads will, the press will, the movies will, the neighbors will, the forces of sin will, the politicians will. How about that? Parents must influence. My parents were so good at that. Oh, I'm so grateful for my parents. They took time to direct me. Everything. You know, my dad taught me how to balance a checkbook, how to do a budget, how to serve the Lord. Man, influence your children. Here's another thing, parent. You must teach your children absolute moral values. And the absolute moral values that we find in the Bible. Don't use fuzzy theology or fuzzy morality. Don't teach that with your kids. Teach them absolute truth. The absolute right and wrong standards that God has declared in His Word. And you know what? Just be straightforward about it. No discussion. Don't try to trick them. Don't try to use psychology. Just tell them what it is. There was a mother and father who were trying to use psychology in raising their children. And at bedtime, they would say to their children, "Would you like to take your doll to bed or your teddy bear to bed?" You see, the beauty of that is that either way they respond, they're choosing to go to bed. See how they're what they're doing? Well, the whole system collapsed when the three-year-old, who was never allowed to go out after supper, said to her parents one evening, "Do you want me to go out the back door or should I go out the front?" Our kids are smart. They'll figure it out. Just be up front, straight with them. Go to bed. Right? Be up front. Be straightforward. Let's look at the roles. Verse 20. Children first. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." That is your role. Children. Greek word is techna. It's a general term for children. It does not refer to any specific age. All of children. That is, any young person that lives under the roof of their parents as a dependent, that would apply to you. Infant, toddler, teenager, high school student, maybe even in some cases a college student. Children, what are you to do? Obey your parents in all things. The Greek word for obey is hupoakouo. You know, kouo, we get the word acoustics, to hear. Literally, a child is to hear under their parents. So that is, you are to hear the instructions of your parents. Some kids don't get that part. You got to listen. You got to hear it. And then you obey it. Children, obey your parents in all things. Not just the commands that you like, but the commands that you maybe even perhaps dislike. In all things. Now, the only exception to that rule in my mind is that if you had a parent who asked you to do something that is strictly forbidden in Scripture, if you have a mom and dad who wants you to go shoplift, you're not to obey them. Or if you have a mom and dad who's prohibiting you from doing things that you know you're supposed to do in the Bible. But those are very, very rare exceptions. We are to obey our parents in all things. If you're a child, that includes every teenager, all of you. Every child. Mom and dad's word is law. It's rule. It's the authority. You're to obey. There are wonderful benefits to that. Wonderful benefits, children. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. If you obey your mom and dad, you are well-pleasing to the Lord. If you are disobeying mom and dad, you're displeasing to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, one of my greatest motivations in life is to know that I'm pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, whenever I see something in the Bible that says, hey, this is the way that you can please Jesus Christ, boy, I underline that one. Because I want to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, you will be well-pleasing to the Lord if you obey your parents. Now, there's another benefit to this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Listen, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Children, God wants to protect you through the authority of your parents. There is protection for you. Literal physical protection for kids. You know, a child needs to learn very quickly that they don't just cross the street without looking both ways. We've got to teach them that. And if a child continues to disobey that command, there's a very good possibility that their life won't go on as long as it should. Literally can save you physically. But here's the most important part. It says, honor your parents that it may go well with you in life. There are things that you can do that will destroy your life, set you on a course that will be very difficult to recover from. Obey your parents because it's right, it's pleasing to the Lord, and you will be protected. I remember when I was growing up, one of the more questionable things that my parents did as parents was they took me to go see Jaws as a kid. As a kid, they let me go see Jaws. And there was a particular scene in that movie where Sheriff Brody tells his kids, I don't want you to go out into the ocean. There's this mean shark out there. Don't go out there. And they disobeyed. And they went out, and there they were in the ocean. And as it goes, all their friends got eaten by the great white shark. They almost did, So we're coming home from the movie, and I think my dad was feeling a little bit guilty about taking me to the movie. So he tried to give me a spiritual, and he said, listen, you need to obey mom and dad. If you don't, you'll get eaten by a great white shark. There are a number of things out there that will gobble a person up and spit them out. There are things like drugs. There are things like premarital sex. There are things that will just destroy a person's life. And parents are sort of put there as roadblocks, danger signs, put red flags. When your parents give you a command to obey a certain curfew,
oh man, that's a drag!
No, it's not. It's God protecting you. They're looking out for you. Children, obey your parents. Very quickly, and I've already said a lot about the parents. So, verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, it's unfortunate that says fathers. It's a Greek word that could actually be translated parents. In fact, it is translated parents in Hebrews chapter 11. So certainly this is speaking to parents. Your role is to be the authority in your house over your children. And your goal really is to raise up children in the ways of the Lord. You should be a shaper, a molder. That's how you should look at yourself. I shape and I mold children for God's glory. That's what you do. Now there's a number of responsibilities. Very, very quickly, here's a negative one in verse 21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Literally, fathers, parents, don't irritate your kids. Don't frustrate them. Loose translation here. Stop nagging your kids. Don't frustrate them. Now, how do you do that? Well, you do that by placing unreasonable demands upon your children. Some parents want their children to be straight-A students, you know, the best, whatever. And then when one of the kids is maybe a little better or gifted in some area than another kid, all this comparison thing starts taking place. Don't do that. That will frustrate your child. We can do this also by placing unreasonable restrictions on our children. Unreasonable restrictions. Listen, we have to let the kids grow up. We have to give them freedom, don't we? There comes time for that. Mark Twain used to say that when a kid turns 16, stick him in a barrel, nail the lid on top, and feed him through the knot hole. When he turns 16, plug up the knot hole. That's not how we're to parent, right? But you know, some of you parents do that. You try to lock your kids away. Well, I've got to protect them from that mean world out there. You got to let them go. Again, it's one of those things where you give them freedom as they're able to responsibly handle freedom. And that will be different for different kids at different times. But you got to be prepared to do that. Bottom line here, it says, children, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. You want to keep your kids from becoming discouraged. And that's a very strong, sad word. Disheartened. Dispirited. It speaks of a kid who's lost the will to keep trying. Man, I can't please mom or dad. I can't do it. I'll just quit. I'm not going to try anymore. You most certainly want to steer clear of that as a parent. As parents, we're to also teach our children disobedience. You don't have to teach them that. They know that. They're born that way. We have to teach our children obedience. Obedience must be taught. The Bible teaches that obedience is taught through discipline. That is, there must be consequences when a child disobeys mom or dad. Must be consequences. There must be discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. If you love your children, you'll discipline them. Now, there are lots of barriers to that. There are many child experts and psychologists that are telling us, oh, don't discipline them. Reason with them. No discipline. It drives foolishness from them. It teaches them obedience. There are other barriers to this as well. Mother Murphy's Law says, the stricter you are with your children, the harder grandparents work at spoiling them. Got to be careful, right? Discipline them. Teach them obedience. Very quick, I know I'm... Turn a couple pages left to Ephesians chapter 6. Another responsibility of us as parents. Verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. There's the positive command for the parent. You are to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That is the primary command for the New Testament father. For the Old Testament father, they were told in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It is the responsibility of Christian parents to bring up their children in the ways of the Lord. To bring them up in training, that means sound doctrine. Positive statements. Admonition of the Lord, that is warning. Rebuke. Part of our job as parents is to put stop signs in their minds. Put cautions. Put red flags. Red lights. We do that with our children. Kim's father did something with her that I have come to appreciate so much. When she was a teenager, when she started to get older, she tells me this story a lot, how her dad sat her down and just told her right out bluntly, there are going to be guys that will want to take you to bed. And I'm going to give you every line in the book that they will use. And that's what he did. He just, they're going to say, I love you. They're going to say this. They're going to say that. They're going to make this statement. They're going to, and just a whole list. And you know what? Sure enough, Kim ran across guys who used those exact lines. And they were caution statements. In fact, it's kind of funny. Kim said, it was kind of like I was listening to my dad. It was gross. But you see, there were cautions. There was a red light. There was a red flag. Do that with your children. You know, you can't be with them all the time. Put the fear of God in your kids. Put His commandments in the mind of your children. Those are the roles in the home, and I realize that we've kind of looked at them very generally. But you know, in a lot of sense, the responsibilities within the home are given to us in the Scripture very generally. And it's up to us as individual Christians and families to seek the Holy Spirit and learn how that works for us and our family. Let's pray, and we'll close with my prayer, AJ. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. And I pray for each child at this fellowship. I pray for each parent at this fellowship. I pray for each marriage, each home. Bless each home. Strengthen each home, Lord. Repair relationships. Renew our commitments to You and our commitments to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.